Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Doug. Doug, would you like to share?
Hi, good morning, everybody. I'm Dougie. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Dougie.
I'm really delighted to be here this morning to do an AA meeting. I haven't been to many meetings in the last 6 or 7 months. Like many of us, the COVID situation and lockdown has prevented us getting out and about. However, I do want to sort of dwell on that topic of recovery, AA, and how I've handled COVID with my AA experience. One of the things I missed in the last 7 months was actually my 7th birthday, which I remember listening to folk in my early days going 7 years and going, wow, that's extraordinary. That must be life-changing. And now I'm at 7 years, I feel as though I'm still only at the beginning. But let me tell you a little bit of my history and story so you understand how big a difference my life is now over the last 7 years. I was a drinker for about 40 years, and the last number of years of my drinking, it was full-time, really ugly, many rock bottoms, life wasn't good. I, through a variety of measures, lost my house, lost my family, lost jobs, became broke. And during those years, I actually engaged with AA and loved AA. But that was about 12 years ago, and if you do some arithmetic, you'll realise that I spent a lot of time in AA not getting sober. And that came down to one simple fact. I didn't think I had a problem. I thought I was quite good at drinking, and whilst AA suggested to me that I was probably an alcoholic, and I admitted to that, I thought I could handle it. Many wise folk back then said to me, Dougie, it'll get worse. You might end up even in jail. And I went, no, not me. Well, here's my turning point. I nearly ended up in jail for multiple drink driving offences. And I got lucky. I was entered into the Alcohol and Drug Court, which gave me an opportunity to change my way of life. And I'll be forever grateful for that particular blessing, because the Alcohol and Drug Court was pretty much brand new in New Zealand at that time, and it was there to help people rather than punish them. That gave me the opportunity to get serious about AA. I knew the rules, I'd heard all of the good advice, I knew what I should do, but I had never done it. But now I was ready. And the reason I want to focus on doing the right things for the right reasons is not only did that help me get sober, but what I learned during that first phase of my sobriety when I did rehab and went through the community alcohol and drugs programs, CADs as they're better known, was I learned how to stay stopped. I had actually stopped a couple of times previously for months at a time and thought, well, I can stop any time I want. That was a fiction. Turned out, as soon as I had a drink, I didn't stop. I didn't stop that day, I didn't stop that week, I didn't stop for the next years sometimes. So I needed to learn how to stay stopped, and doing those rehabs and getting my act together following the 12-step program has become a way of life. It's been a delightful way of life, and it's kept me sober. I now have no inclination to drink, and life is good. And I say that in respect that in the last couple of years, not just have I used my 12-step program and all the tools and self-management techniques that I learned in AA, not only have I used that to get through lockdown without being triggered or tempted, the year before that, I actually went through some cancer operations and heavy-duty cancer treatment. And many people said to me, how come you're so happy? You've got cancer. And I said to them, look, I'm happy to be alive. I'm not happy about having cancer. I'm happy in spite of having cancer. And that was something I learned through my recovery in AA. I could choose to be happy in spite of some of the challenges and problems and hassles that I was having in my life, which, quite frankly, were no different to anybody else's life challenges. The change I made was choosing to be happy and manage those problems without reverting to take a drink to cope with the stress, to pretend the problems didn't exist. And, of course, not only did it not make the problems go away, I managed to inflame most of those problems because I was drunk. And it is, I look back on those days, and forgive me for laughing if you're out there struggling, it does get better. But, you know, I look at my coping mechanisms and the result of using booze as part of that life coping strategy. It didn't work. It made things worse. I made even bigger dumb decisions that I had to deal with. I had to deal with the consequences of making poor choices, and I then made them worse by being drunk when I tried to make repairs and apologies to people. I used to say to people regularly, oh, forgive me, I was drunk. What a pathetic excuse that is. That's no excuse for being stupid, dumb, abusive, or, in my case, drink driving far too much of the time. Life's now different. I don't need to use drink. I don't need to revert to any form of mood-altering substance, partly because I'm now sober, but also I've managed to adopt the AA way of life. And part of that is being able to share my experience, strength and hope with you guys, to share and help other people who are struggling. And quite frankly, that's one of the most lovely benefits of being sober and being part of AA, is helping other people get the benefits that I have personally achieved and enjoy on a daily basis. So my final thought for the day is, if you're out there struggling, get in touch with AA, phone the service centre, or find somebody who will take you to a meeting and introduce you. If you've been to AA and maybe facing some new problems, get back in there. There's a bunch of folk who will help, will support and guide you through those tough days. And if you're a time-served participant in AA, I hope to meet you at an upcoming meeting. My name's Dougie. Thanks.
Thanks, Dougie. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Shane.
Hi, I'm Shane, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Shane.
Hi, Shane.
Thanks, Dougie. It's good to see you again, and there's three of us in here today that kind of started our journey all at about the same time. And I can only think that, well, for me, the thing that's kept me sober has been AA. I had a reasonable career with drinking as well. You know, I drank for 30 years, and I just thought that was going to be my lot in life. I had finished up the last few years just being in a room by myself, isolated, starting in the morning and finishing when I conked out, sometimes in the afternoon, sometimes in the evening, and then just repeating that process again and again and again. And, I'd gone past the point of swearing off the drink. I, for a lot of years, incidents would happen. You'd like Dougie was saying, you'd have You'd be caught for drunk driving, or you'd have other police matters. You'd have breakups with family and friends. You'd have relationship breakups. You'd have job breakups, and you'd say to yourself, "This is it. You know, I'm going to have to change. Things are going to, come Monday. I'm going to stop drinking." And Monday never came, and I just kept. But the last few years, I just was under no illusion. There was just me and the booze, and you know the dance that I used to do around the liquor stores, where I had three or four on rotation, thinking that that I was fooling them. I was only fooling myself, and in the end I just ended up in all sorts of states, just turning up to the same one again and again. I remember telling him at the start also that the reason I was back was because I had some friends come over, or I had this happen, but the reality was that, yeah. Anyway, I think where I'm trying to get to with that is that, and we were talking about that before the meeting, is the illusion and the delusion that you're actually, that someone's buying what you're trying to sell, that everything's okay. And what I had to do to make everything okay, or make people feel like that, make people believe that what my life wasn't a shambles, was I had to just be away from them. Because if they, there'd be times where they'd turn up, they couldn't get hold of me because I wouldn't answer the phone. Someone knocked at the door, I wouldn't answer it. Wouldn't collect mail, and I was just afraid. But there would be times where people would catch me, accidentally. I'd be walking past the door, and they'd knock, and I'd have to let them in. I'd be drunk, and I'd have to explain to them why. Normally it would be that I've just finished a night shift, and or I'm having some days off work, and whatever it was. I mean, the whole premise of my life was a lie, and whoever was left, I was still prepared to keep telling them that same lie. I'd toyed with the idea of AA, and I'd been to a couple of AA meetings in remorse, and still drunk on a couple of Sundays in a row, and it didn't make a lot of sense to me, and I don't recommend it. I think to get something out of an AA meeting, you need to be sober, and I just couldn't see how it worked, and all I remember from those meetings was just, telling everyone how horrible my life had become, and crying, but something must have stuck with me. I thought about it yesterday when I was at a meeting, and some part of that, even though I didn't realise it at the time, opened the door a little bit for me to see that there potentially could be another way. And I didn't initially take. I went to a rehab, and that was my sort of back door to AA. The people used to come in and share with us, and like Dougie said before, people would come in and they'd be a few years sober. When you've just got a few days up, it just seems like a million miles away, and there's no, when you've been. My sort of drinking on a daily basis, I didn't think there was the opportunity to stop. And so when you're seeing people, and it must have given me, after all those years of broken promises to other people and mainly to myself, there must have been something that dropped inside my head, or smashed inside my head, that said that there's a chance, there's an opportunity to start a different life. And that's what AA's given to me. And it's still, I just started yesterday. I just lost my license for 3 months, and that's that has some restrictive sides to it, and it's I look at the reasons why it was, they're just repeating the same behaviors again and again, and hoping expecting that I'm not going to get caught. That's number one. And Yeah, it's just, it's you know, but I need those wake-up calls. I need to, you know, I realise that this was, you know, God's way of you know, just nudging me over in a different direction. And, you know, and I needed that. Not initially grateful, but realizing that it's going to be it's you know, it's there for a reason. So I try to look at things now as whereas I felt the world was against me, the only thing that was against me was me, and I now look at things as, you know, whatever they are that turns up as potential opportunities to change. And, you know, I was speaking to one of my mates in AA this morning, and, you know, for me, I struggle with change. I have to be forced into it to take those steps. And, you know, luckily there's been a few things lately that have that are gonna force me to change. And so for that, you know, I'm grateful, and I'm grateful to be a sober member of AA, and I'm grateful to see my two friends still doing well in life and sober after these years. And, you know, it's it's just a day at a time. It really feels and some of them are real long days as well, and you've got to the best thing, you know, in the last couple of weeks there's been a couple of days where the best I could do is just get myself laid down on bed and just be grateful the thought hasn't crossed my mind to go up to the liquor store again and try and fix it that way. I'll leave it there. God bless.
Thank you, Shane.
Awesome. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person we have to share this morning is Catherine.
Hi, my name's Catherine and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine.
Yes,
a real privilege to be sitting here in these studios again with my fellow travellers, two of whom have been sober roughly the same time as me. AA has really taught me how wonky I am, or how wonky my thinking is. I really didn't know for much of my life. I thought everyone else was wonky. And it came as quite a shock, really, to realise that pretty much it lay with me. And AA's helped me get right-sized. And my problem has been right from when, as far as I can remember, I've lived my life slightly out of step, you know, either too much or too little, too high, too low, too loud, too soft. And I never actually understood this notion of moderation. You know, I'm regularly described as a pocket rocket. You know, I'm small, but I'm full on, or I'm, you know, comatosed. And I've actually had to learn that you can do things at a softer, gentler pace, because for me, whenever I get into a groove of doing something and it feels good, I do it. I do it until it hurts. And that's how I was with my drinking. I was looking for a solution to my wonkiness, and I found it in booze. And I found it at about the age of 14, which, you know, is probably not that unusual. I was a miserable teenager, full of self-loathing and completely obsessed with myself, you know. And we talk about in AA how, you know, it's this ultimate egocentric idea that you don't think much of yourself, but you think about yourself a lot. And I was constantly doing that. I couldn't get into a groove where I had relief from myself, you know, like other people had hobbies and craft and stuff like that. I was too obsessed with the sense of self. And it's actually a very unpleasant way to live, and it's a very painful way to live. And so it was no surprise when I discovered alcohol and I was able to find some relief from the self-absorption. And, you know, as I said before, it felt good. So, you know, it felt good. Why wouldn't you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 drinks? If one felt good, 5 must feel awesome. And that's how my drinking started, and that's how it continued, you know. Never in moderation. I've never understood 1 drink, 2 drinks, even 3 drinks, a bit baffling. And it was incremental, you know, it just crept up on me over the years. I wasn't a daily drinker to start with, and I didn't drink into blackout to start with. But I always drank to get absolutely inebriated. I was never about being sociable. I really didn't care who I was talking to as long as I had drink beside me, you know. For normies, people who can drink normally, the person they're talking to is the main reason and the drink is the side note. Well, for me, it was always the drink and you were the side note. And as a result, you know, I could sit down and drink with anyone because it really wasn't about you. It was about me and my relationship with alcohol. And I didn't know that was abnormal. I thought everybody was doing that. And that's what I mean about my wonkiness. I thought I was normal and you guys weren't, or other people weren't. And I had trouble with the world. I had trouble with reality because I was deluded, and alcohol would just feed this delusion that I was, I was normal and you guys weren't. And I maintained that delusion for years and years and years. And it was really painful when I finally, and AA helped me through this, had to face myself. You know, I stopped my drinking 36 years later to picking up, 36 years of living in this fantasy land and fantasy about who I was and who you were. And when I put down the drink, I realised the problem was actually me, and the booze had become a problem for sure. But the problem was me, and I had to face myself. I had to turn the mirror around and look at me, and I had to look at a life without booze, and that meant no more fantasy. It meant looking at life on life's terms. And I realised then that I wasn't the centre of the universe, and that was a bit of a shock, really. And I realised that other people had opinions and thoughts and feelings, and that too was a bit of a shock. And I have, you know, and it's like the scales keep falling from my eyes in this program, because this program is about honesty. This program is about humility. It's about tolerance. It's about gratitude. It's about kindness. And I didn't really have a grasp on any of those notions. I thought I did. I really thought I did. But, you know, take away the booze, and with the kind hand of the fellowship, I actually was able to look at myself and see that I really had no concept of humility. Because I thought I was the centre of the universe, and humility is about actually understanding that you're a person among people. And I had to learn that slowly and gently. And to be honest, that, you know, I've learned that you can do things in moderation. I have to actually remind myself I will always be an alcoholic. My mind is just wired in a way that is full on or full off, and I have to work that middle ground, and I have to remind myself every day I'm an alcoholic, or I will go full steam trying to run the show, and that does not go well. So I have to remind myself that you can do things slowly, gently. You don't have to start something and do it until you fall over. You can start something, do a little bit, and pick it up another day. That was revelatory to me. I didn't know that was an option. So I'm learning to walk a serene life, and I have to work at that, or my old thinking kicks in, because that's who I am. But I now know there's an alternative, and when I get fretty or panicky or full on or shouty or sulky or stroppy, I know that that's on me. That's my issue now. I thought that was on you. And you were making me mad. And I just needed to show you how mad you were making me. Now I know today that I'm actually mad. I'm actually bonkers. But that I can manage that on a daily basis so that I don't pull others into my vortex, my alcoholic thinking. I can go offline and process my madness. I don't have to bring you into it. And so that when I come out of this crazy thinking and get back to my serene state, I don't have to apologise. I don't have to re-step. I can just carry on knowing that I haven't hurt you, because I used to enjoy doing that to people, you know. My tool was my tongue. I'm not a big person, but my tongue is quite sharp. And I used that. I used that as a way of keeping you at arm's length. I used my tongue as a way of controlling you. And I realise now that that was my fear speaking, and I wanted to show you who was boss. Those were the delusions I lived under for years, and now I live a calmer, kind of life. The idea of deliberately hurting someone now is actually painful to me, because my head is clear and my heart is clearer and I can feel things a lot more. So I now know that what you say or do can really damage people. When I was drinking, I just would be able to do it, say something, do something to you, and then in my mind reframe it in a way that I hadn't done or hadn't caused damage and that you probably deserved it. Now I know that's not true. So it's with my experience, my strength and my hope that I trudge through each day, and some days are really hard. You know, as Shane said, some days I just find life really hard, but that's life for everybody, alcoholic or not. I have tools now that I know that this will pass and that my thinking is probably not right. It's not true. Just because I think something doesn't make it true. And if I can just ride through these periods doing the next right thing and keeping things real, trying to stay kind and compassionate, then fallout is less. And the thought of going back to drinking is, you know, just incredibly distressing to me. It's a horrible life, and it's progressive. So as things wound down, as my drinking kind of came to its end, my life was so small. You know, it was about getting up, getting through the day, drinking, blacking out, going through the next day with a stinking hangover, picking up again, you know, just Groundhog Day. And no matter how much I didn't want to drink, it seemed like it was beyond my power to stop. And I will be eternally grateful to AA for the kindness and compassion they have shown such a flawed individual. And it's taught me today that if I just keep my own side of the street clean, you know, and stay out of other people's business, then life just goes a lot better. And I can sleep at night. So I'll leave it there. And thanks once again for listening, and I hope your journey goes well. Thanks.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.